But first today, earlier this week, an independent senator made a personal plea in Shannadarran for head and neck cancer patients in Ireland. Senator Gerard Crockwell told the chamber that head and neck cancer is not just a clinical diagnosis, it's a life-altering reality that affects how a person speaks, eats, breathes and sees themselves in the mirror. I'm delighted now to be joined on the line by the Galway native. Senator Crockwell, thanks very much for joining us this afternoon.
Good afternoon, David, and thank you very much for having me on, and thank you for airing this really important subject. I truly appreciate it.
Of course, really appreciate you joining us, Senator Crockwell. And I suppose this was a personal plea because it's something you know intimately, which hits home because your daughter is living with it. Could you tell us a bit about your daughter?
Sure, absolutely, David. My daughter was diagnosed with cancer of the tongue at the age of 19. That's 26 years ago, which I'm delighted to say that she has survived and thrives. But it, the diagnosis initially, what started it off was just a mouth ulcer that wouldn't go away. And that was subsequently identified as cancer, squamous cell carcinoma, and it resulted in the removal of 50% of her tongue. And that then leads on to, after that type of surgery, your face, you can imagine, is severely damaged. Your teeth are severely damaged, gums, mouth, even your wrists, which are used to fill the floor of your mouth where it has been removed. So there is a massive reconstruction that has to be done. But the problem is, where head and neck cancer is concerned, we do not provide funding for reconstruction. We do for breast cancer, in order that a woman who has been struck with breast cancer can be restored to a feminine shape or silhouette, as was said in my speech. But where head and neck is concerned, you have to live with the outward appearance of the damage that has been done. It, firstly, by the cancer, and secondly, by the rather radical post-operative treatments that take place. So Rebecca has been going through treatment for the last 26 years. She has been hospitalized many, many times. She has been in intensive care on a number of occasions when we weren't sure whether she would recover or not. And that is down to the fact that you have difficulty swallowing when you've had mouth cancer, and you sometimes swallow into your lungs rather than into your stomach, and that leads to aspirational pneumonia, which can kill you. So it's been a long 26 years, but thankfully, thank God, she has survived the 26 years. Many are not so lucky.
Of course, and I can only imagine what an awful time it's been for your daughter and for yourselves and the whole family over the past 26 years. And you described in your speech waiting for scans and referrals and answers. Can you talk to me a bit more about that and the kind of delays facing this type of cancer patient?
Absolutely. Sadly, as we're speaking, David, there will be people in Kerry today who have been diagnosed or will be diagnosed in the next short period. The instance of head and neck cancer in young people, Rebecca was the youngest person ever when she was diagnosed with it. But now there is a new form of cancer coming from the HPV virus, and sadly, the take-up on the inoculation is not as good as we'd like. So a lot of young people are diagnosed. And then the problem is, once you've been diagnosed, there are a sequence of events that must happen. The first thing is your oral dental work must be done. In Rebecca's case, they didn't do that, and she now suffers from what they call osteoradionarcosis, which is essentially the rotting of the jawbone. The jawbone becomes like a crunchy bar, and it just disintegrates. So we're not sure how long her jaw will last, but the osteoradionarcosis never goes away. So if you're diagnosed today, you need to have dental work done prior to any radiation work done. And then, so the sequence is dental work, followed by radiation therapy, followed by surgery, followed by dental work, followed by restoration, followed by constant ongoing monitoring then for the rest of your life. And sadly, with young people being diagnosed, the youngest now have been diagnosed are as young as 14. It's a life-altering type of cancer. You never, ever, ever recover from it. Your appearance, your speech, your swallow, and as was said in my speech, even when you look in the mirror, it's looking back at you. So it changes everything. My most beautiful daughter, we struggled with the dental hospital, amazing people, struggled to restore as much of her beauty as they could. Sadly, by the age of 30, she had lost all her teeth. So that, for a young woman of 30 years of age, is pretty horrific, you can imagine.
Of course, yeah, it must have been a very tough time for Rebecca and obviously for yourselves as well. And you kind of highlighted there the crucial role of dental oncology in it, before and after the cancer treatment. I suppose, is there enough of that in the country to deal with these sort of issues at the moment?
Sadly, David, there's not. So we have 400 patients per year now, an additional 400 patients per year now being referred to the Dublin Dental University Hospital. And thankfully, the Cork Dental Hospital and School is now taking patients as well. So they have as many as 163, I think, at the moment, being referred on an annual basis, which for people living in Kerry is a godsend, because can you imagine the trouble of travelling to Dublin to have dental work done, to have radiation therapy done, and then having to travel back to Kerry? I know Cork is a fair distance away from Kerry, but thankfully it's much closer than Dublin. And once you're on that treadmill, there's no way off it. You're on that treadmill for the rest of your life. And this is why, when we're speaking about this, I know there will be parents listening today in Kerry, and I'm saying to them, please, 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 get your son, get your daughter vaccinated against the HPV virus. This is what it will do to your child.
Yeah, it's a very important message. And Senator Crockwell, you mentioned in the speech as well, Sweden as a model for cancer care. What are the things you think us here in Ireland could learn from their system?
Absolutely. Sweden, the Swedish system is the benchmark we should all arrive at. So what we're looking for 556,000 to get the Dublin University Hospital the amount of money it needs to survive this year. But we want 4.2 million. Now, we're asking for 4.2 million, David, from a budget of 27 billion for head and neck cancer. And then what we want is, we want, immediately you're diagnosed, we want you put through the dental work that has to take place before any radiation. We want the radiation to follow, and we want the surgery to follow that, followed by reconstruction. The reconstruction is vitally important for young people that have a life ahead of them. So that's the benchmark that is used in Sweden. The other thing about it is, every 4-week delay. So let's say a person is diagnosed with mouth cancer today, and we cannot fit them into a dental appointment for 4 weeks. Well, that 4 weeks will have put them at risk. 9% of those who get a 4-week delay suffer mortality. And every 4 weeks increases the mortality risk. So you can imagine, if it's not possible to get them before the dental specialists that are required in head and neck surgery, the risk to your child, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother becomes greatly and greatly excessive. And at the end of the day, the risk of losing one of your family to mouth cancer is horrific.
Of course. And I suppose, Senator Crockwell, as an elected member of the Oireachtas or of the Shannon, it's hard to do that. But then as a parent, as a father on top of it as well, it must have been a very difficult time and ongoing for the past 26 years for yourself.
Yeah, no, I had some inhibitions about using our personal story for to deliver the request
of
the staff of the Dublin Dental Hospital, but I've set aside the ethical reasons, if you want, and I said what's most important here is that we get the money to get this service up and running. But when I think of it, David, I could go to work every morning and I could leave the problem behind in the immediate post-surgery. But bear in mind, when you come out of a mouth cancer surgery, you cannot eat, so all food has to be liquidized. And the battles that took place between Rebecca not wanting to take liquidized food and her mother, Helen, insisting that she could, the battles between the two of them were really heartbreaking to watch. To watch her mother struggled to ensure that she got enough nutrition into her to survive, and that went on for many, many, many weeks. I was fortunate insofar as I could walk out the door and go to work and not have to confront the battles to get her healthy again. So her mother played a massive part in getting her healthy and getting her back up and running again. Today, Rebecca works for Allied Irish Banks, who have been extremely helpful to her for the last 26 years, providing her with all of the resources she needs if she needs time off to be in hospital or anything like that. They have looked after her to date. So, you know, there are lots and lots of people involved when you come across a patient with cancer of the head and neck. And your listeners will know themselves, particularly the ladies that are listening, how you like to do yourself up before you go out for the night or before you go to a wedding or before you do this, that and the other. And I look at photographs of Rebecca at her wedding and she looked absolutely gorgeous, unbelievably beautiful. And over the 7 or 8 years since that wedding, we have watched the deterioration of her mouth, her teeth, etc. And she's lucky that she has a wonderful husband who looks after her better than anybody could. And those are the things you have to face. And it is so important that you gave time to this subject today, David, because there are people in Kerry today who have a mouth ulcer that's not going away and they're not doing anything about it. Sadly, the number of people using the dentist these days is minuscule and we need to see that improve.
Certainly, certainly. Senator Crockwell, I really appreciate your time. One final question for you, I suppose. If you had the Minister for Health, Jennifer Karen McNeill, in the room in front of you today, what would the one action you'd ask her to take be immediately?
Sign a cheque for €556,000 and sign a promise of €4.2 million for next year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's and like you said, it's not an extraordinary amount of money when you consider in the balance of what you spoke already.
Yeah, no, it's minuscule, loose change in the back pocket of the Department of Health or the HSE. But it is only by highlighting these things that we can make the changes that are required. And people in Kerry who are listening to this who feel that something should be done, please contact your local TD and your local town and county councillor and ask them to make representations through their parties.
That's great. Senator Crockwell, thanks very much for joining us on the show today and thank you for sharing your story, and send our best to Rebecca as well.
I will indeed. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much. That's Senator Jared Crockwell there speaking about that difficult subject. He raised it about head and neck cancer patients in Ireland, spoke about it in Shannadarran during the week, and obviously talking there about his daughter Rebecca's experience and story. Very tough story and speaking like that. And thank you again, Senator Crockwell, for joining us.